The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I'm Rabbi Matt Schneeweiss, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. Today's reading is from Marcus Aurelius Meditations, Book 4, Paragraph 37. You will soon die, and are not yet simple, untroubled, void of suspicion that anything from outside can hurt you, nor kindly disposed towards all, nor counting wisdom to consist only in just action. So this one was a little surprising to me, because Marcus Aurelius does not sound very stoic about his own death. He's a little hard on himself here, and obviously he's entitled, he's a human being, but it is an unusual stance. And again, remember, we have to remember these are personal journal entries, really. So again, I'm not criticizing him for saying this, but I will let Epictetus criticize him for this. So let me read a relatively long excerpt from Epictetus's Discourses. This is Book 3, Chapter 10. It's the tail end of this chapter. And I'm choosing this for two reasons. Three reasons, actually. One is because I think this is a rebuke of the type of attitude displayed in Marcus Aurelius. Number two, this is a good articulation of what Stoicism views as the purpose of philosophy, which I think is at odds somewhat with what Judaism views as the goal of learning Torah, or the goal of life, however you want to put it. And then the third reason is because in yesterday's episode, I mentioned examples of, you know, talking about fever. I left off with the fact that I had some anxiety about there being a side effect from my vaccine of being feverish when I traveled. This excerpt here talks about fever. So those are three reasons. Now, before I read this, I haven't read a lot of long excerpts from the discourses, but the discourses were written in a way that's like semi-dialogue. So he sometimes will articulate what his student says, and then he'll respond to it. So in order to differentiate, since you're hearing this and not reading it on the screen and can't see the quotation marks, I'll try to do a kind of like whiny, annoying voice for the student, so you know what is the student and what is his teacher, Epictetus. Okay, so here's what he says. But I cannot attend to my philosophical studies. And for what purpose do you follow them? Slave, is it not that you may be happy, that you may be constant? Is it not that you may be in a state conformable to nature and live so? What hinders you, when you have a fever, from having your ruling faculty conformable to nature? Here's the proof of the thing. Here's the test of the philosopher. For this also is a part of life, like walking, like sailing, like journeying by land, so also is fever. Do you read while you are walking? No. Nor do you when you have a fever. If you walk about well, you have all that belongs to a man who walks. If you bear fever well, you have all that belongs to a man in a fever. What is it to bear a fever well? Not to blame God or man, not to be afflicted, not to be afflicted with that which happens. I think there's a typo here. To expect death well and nobly, to do what must be done. When the physician comes in, do not be frightened at what he says, nor if he says, you are doing well, to be overjoyed. For what good has he told you? And when you were in health, what good was that to you? And even if he says, you are in a bad way, do not despond. For what is it to be ill? Is it that you are near the severance of the soul and the body? What harm is there in this? If you are not near now, will you not afterward be near? Is the world going to be turned upside down when you are dead? Why then do you flatter the physician? Why do you say, if you please, master, I shall be well? Why do you give him an opportunity of raising his eyebrows? Do you not value a physician as you do a shoemaker when he is measuring your foot, or a carpenter when he is building your house? And so treat the physician as to the body, which is not yours, but by nature dead. He who has a fever has an opportunity of doing this. If he does these things, he has what belongs to him. For it is not the business of a philosopher to look after these externals, neither his wine, nor his oil, nor his poor body, but his own ruling power. But as to externals, how must he act? So far as not to be careless about them. When is there a reason for fear? Where is there then still reason for anger, and out of fear about what belongs to others, about things which are of no value? For we ought to have these two principles in readiness. One, that except the will, nothing is good or bad. And two, that we ought not to lead events, but to follow them. My brother ought not to have behaved thus to me. No, but he will see to that. And however he may behave, I will conduct myself toward him as I ought. For this is my own business. That belongs to another. No man can prevent this. The other thing can be hindered. Okay, so let's just summarize Epictetus' point before we say how he's responding to Marcus Aurelius here. So Epictetus is basically, again, this is basic Stoicism here. He's basically saying that the only, in Stoic philosophy, the only good is how you use your will. Externals are not a good or a bad. So the fact that you have a fever, that's not bad. But how you react to your fever, how you respond to it, that is wherein lies the good and the bad, how you use your ruling faculty. And externals you can't control. And when he says about death specifically, he's saying, what, you're worried about the fact that your soul is going to be severed from your body? Well, that's going to happen anyway. Like, what did you think, that you were immortal? And therefore, if that's what you're worried about, then that's irrational. That's not keeping your will in accordance with nature. And furthermore, having a fever, not only it's not a good or a bad, but it does provide an opportunity for a good or a bad, because now that you're in this trial of having a fever, you can choose how to respond to it. And that's something, that choice and that opportunity to practice living well is not something that you would have had that opportunity for if you didn't have the fever. So going back to Marcus Aurelius, I mean, he's despondent for the fact that he's going to die and he's not yet perfected, basically, right? He says, you will soon die and are not yet simple, untroubled, void of suspicion that anything from outside can hurt you, nor kindly disposed towards all, nor counting wisdom to consist only in just action. So on the one hand, I mean, he is not worried about external things, right? I mean, those are all internal things. Those all have to do with the true good. So he is right to be concerned with those things. But the reality is that you probably will die not being perfected, you know, and death is inevitable. You don't know when it's going to happen. So just like you accept the fact that you might die and be severed from your body, or the fact that you accept the fact that there are external things you can't control, so too, you can't control the span of time that has been granted to you by God for how long you live. So accepting the fact that you will die unperfected, to me, is part of what is what a Stoic would think, you know? Again, I'm not criticizing him personally. Obviously, he's entitled to feel this way, but if you were to take this, you know, again, if you were to say to Marcus Aurelius what Marcus Aurelius should say to Marcus Aurelius, it would be that, yes, I'm going to die unperfected. What did I think? That God would let me live until I perfected myself? That's totally irrational, right? Another thing I wanted to point out here is, I was going to say that this is different than Judaism's view, is that, you know, first of all, our to us, the purpose of learning is not exclusively to implement an action. I mean, obviously, action is a big thing, and the learning should be real to us. In fact, I was just thinking about the fact that, when Aurelius says, counting wisdom consist only in just action. So my gut reaction was to say, well, obviously, you know, Judaism values wisdom as a means of just action, but we don't hold that that's the purpose of wisdom. Don't we hold that there is value in Yedias Hashem, in knowledge of God per se? That even if you just know, if you have knowledge of God for the sake of knowledge itself, that's a good, you know? And then I remember this pasuk in Yirmiyahu, which doesn't get nearly enough publicity, in Yirmiyahu Chaf Beis Tes Zayin, Dan Din Aniv Evyon, Oz Tov, Halohi Hada'as Osi Ne'umat Hashem. So the translation is, he judged the case of the poor and the destitute, and then it was good. Is this not knowing me, says Hashem? So that pasuk, again, not to discount what I said necessarily, but that pasuk flies in the face of someone who would maintain that knowledge of God is purely in the theoretical. And Yirmiyahu is saying, no, knowledge of God involves the theoretical, but should culminate in you helping the poor, you know, and that is knowledge of Hashem. That is the real knowledge of Hashem. That's the whole thing of emulating Hashem, halacha bidrachav, walking in his ways. And the whole reason why God talks about his attributes, so to speak, which are really attributes of his action, is so that we can emulate them. So anyway, but going back to Aurelius, our goal in Judaism is not to reach a state of perfection and such that failure to do so would be a failure of life. Our goal is to pursue knowledge of God and perfection to the extent possible, you know, and it's the process has value even if we don't get to the ultimate result. That's kind of what shocked me about this excerpt from or this chapter in Aurelius is that he seems very goal oriented here as opposed to being process oriented, which to my mind is more characteristic of the Stoic to be process oriented and also more characteristic of the Torah, which focuses on doing what you can, you know, echad amar bev echad mavi. Whether you do a lot or a little, as long as you guide your mind and your heart to heaven, meaning that you're involved in the right process for the right reasons. Okay, so that's it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've heard, learned here today and would like to support my production of even more Torah content, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Link is in the description. Thank you to my listeners for listening, and thank you to my patrons for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.